You may be seated, and if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 8. And where that is in the Pew Bibles, I'm not sure, but just a little bit of change in the program this morning, and just allow God to just warm our hearts with what the Scripture He has for us this morning. And we find in Psalm 8 these words: O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies to be silent and the foe of the avenger. When I consider your heavens and work for and the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and with honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the fields, and birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all swim in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Great passage of Scripture. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning.
Since no one's coming to me, I'm coming back. Men of faith, I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing your gifts and talents and for the awesome times we have practicing. I understand what Pastor Homer was talking about. If you could be in some of our practices, we have an incredible amount of fun. More fun than we should have. We should focus a little more on the music and not pick on Ryan. But when you got the new guy in there, everything's his fault, right? But we have a tremendous amount of fun. Fellas, I thank you so much for your willingness to share. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would please open up once again to the book of Psalms, chapter 8. This was one of those days where I had another message all prepared. You'll notice on the sign, it's not the same message. But I just sensed during this morning's early service, I thought, you know what? This particular message is one that we as a whole church body need to look at. And so I have felt that this was the direction to go for this morning. And what I want to do is I want to ask you, what are you worth? Bill, stand here for just a minute. Bill loves it when I do this kind of thing. Come here. Turn around, face the folk. Everybody wave at Bill. Yeah. As you look at this gentleman standing here, I want to ask you, monetarily, what's he worth? Those of you in the early service, be quiet. What's this guy worth? Hi.
Hi.
No one's going to take a shot at it?
I'll give you $5 for it.
Take it.
You're... When $5 was spoken, that was about $2 too high. There was a group of scientists that got together just to figure out how much the human body was worth. And when they put together all of the minerals that make him up and all of that kind of thing, they figured that the average human body is worth about $3. Actually, when the study was done, it was about $2, but now its inflation has brought it up to about $3. You know, when you begin to think of that, you don't get feeling real good about yourself, do you? Now, I want to ask you, what is his value to God? And then, what is your value to God? Thank you, sir. You can be seated. I'll try not to embarrass you anymore this morning. Let's look at this eighth psalm. Because, you know, I am convinced that the way that our society goes and the way that the world goes today, that there is a constant putting down of an individual's worth and of an individual's value. And we have to guard that we don't take those messages in ourselves. We have to be cautious that we do not allow this world to dictate what our value is, or to allow other people to dictate what our value is. But instead, we need to look at ourselves through the eyes of God, because there is a uniqueness in us that is not in any other aspect of creation. And that's what we want to look at today. Let's look at that eighth psalm once again. As the psalmist begins this, and I wanted to read this from the New American Standard now. You can just kind of listen if you wish, or you can follow along. It'll read very close to the NIV, but not quite the same. The psalmist says this. He says, "O Lord our God, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes thou hast established strength, because of thine adversaries, to make the enemy and the revengeful cease." Now catch this. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou dost take thought of him? And the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth." Let's pray. Our gracious Father, teach us to view ourselves as you view us. Teach us that our worth is not in dollars in the bank, automobiles on the road, that our worth is not established in homes and land possession. But Father, teach us that our worth and our value is in the amazing gift you gave us by creating us in your image. Lord, help us to fully comprehend and fully grasp the idea that we are valuable enough for you to sacrifice for our lives. Now, Lord, help us to focus for these next few moments on your word. And we'll give you praise, for it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. As I was preparing this particular message, this passage of Scripture came to me, and, you know, I began to look at the creation of God. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I look out at the heavens, like last night after we had the picnic, which was a great amount of fun, by the way. We had a great time at that. But I walked out into that parking lot and looked up, and the stars were just sparkling. The sky had cleared, and it was, you know, it's just one of those things when it's real cold and crisp. You know how you look up at the heavens and the stars wink at you? And I'm just awestruck by the beauty of God's creation. Or when I go to various places, one of my favorite places to drive through and look at is over by Kinzu. You know, over by the dam, you're driving down that road and you've got these hills that just kind of come down and blend into each other, and all of the trees and all of the beauty that's along there. And then you drive real close to these rock slides and there's water that flows down. And I'm just awestruck that God spoke and that came into existence. That just amazes me. And it fills me with gratitude to think that God even cares about me as an individual. When he has all of that. And folks, we only have really this world to connect with who God is. We can't possibly grasp all of the universes and all of the planets and all of the stars and what represents them and what they represent. We just really have no idea what that stuff's all about. And so our vision is limited to what we can see here. And when God created you and I, it was after he had created all of that stuff. All of the heavens. It was after he had created all of the universes, all of the planets, you know, when he spoke and bang, there it was. When he took his finger and carved out the mountains, when he took his finger and made the seas, you know, when he took just his amazing abilities and powers and spoke all of this into existence, when he created all of the animals, when he created everything that we look at, but then he took as his crowning glory of creation and formed man. And from man formed woman. In his image. Nothing else in creation is spoken of as being created in his image. The angels, those ministering servants of God that are around his throne continually, praising him and worshiping him, those angels that are our guardians, our protectors, if you will, those ministering spirits of God, those ministering servants of God, are not created in his image. Only you. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that make you stop and take a look at yourself and say, wow, that's pretty incredible? You see, this is what struck the psalmist in this 8th psalm. You'll notice that he brings out some things of value as man views value. And as he is going on, we're going to pick up in verse 3. And, you know, you and I have value to the God of heaven that far surpasses, and we're going to look at that, that far surpasses what he brings out here. But look at how the psalmist is here. He says, look, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what am I? And you're not doing the scripture any injustice by personalizing this. What am I? I'm a man. I am flesh and bone and blood. In today's society, worth about $3. But God, what am I? When I look at all that you have done and all that you have created, what am I? What is man? Now catch this. That thou dost take thought of him. Lord, what am I that I am in your thoughts? Lord, what am I that you care about me? right now, there ought to be little bumps on your arms. If you're contemplating that the God of all creation thinks of you. Stop and think of that. Of the billions of people who are alive right now, God is thinking about you. You know what that means? That means you're not junk. You're not garbage. You're not trash. There can't be a monetary value placed on who you are. The psalmist looks at this and he says, man, who is man that you take thought of him? And, or the Son of Man. And by the way, the phrase here, Son of Man, is not referring to Jesus. It's talking about offspring of man. Okay? So, God, when you think of me, and you not only think of me, but you think of my offspring. That's amazing. That's amazing. You've got Keith Deitch back there who's really excited about having a brand new addition coming into his family. By the way, Rachel, you're coming into an amazing family. You know, but I think they're getting an amazing gift in you. All right? But as you look at Keith, God thinks of Keith continually. Partly because Keith needs extra watching over. No, I'm just teasing. But God equally watches his son. He watches Craig. And he thinks of Craig. Craig is at the center of his mind, the center of his heart. God loves me, and he thinks of me. And he thinks of my children. And he thinks of my children's children. And he thinks of you. And he thinks of your children. And he thinks of your children's children. What is man, God, that you are even remotely concerned about any one of us? You want to know something? You're the only you that God has created. In all of the history of man, you are the only you that God has created. And that makes you unique and special in his eyes. Think about that. In all of the people ever created, you are the only you. This life is the only opportunity you have to make a connection with the God of all creation. The things that the psalmist uses here as an illustration are things that are very important. And that people, individuals would connect with. Now, I want you to notice the various things that the psalmist looks at. And we want to talk a little bit about what their value is. And why did he bring these particular things in? And we'll see that these are things that are important because of their spiritual significance to man. But also because of the value that man puts on them. And as people began to consider, who am I, God, that you are mindful of me, the psalmist was giving a point of thought. Now, notice what he says. He says, look, our value is worth more than the birds. We're worth more than the birds. I'm happy for that. Because I'll tell you what, I have seen some of these birds. This past summer, I was walking, and I think I've learned a lesson from this. I was walking from my office back to the house, and there were some geese flying by, or flying over. And they were playing Bomb the Fat Guy. You know how geese are. I mean, they have absolutely no concern about what's underneath them. They're just going to let go. And I thought, God, thank you that I'm more important than that goose. But you see, we are worth more than the birds. Now, birds to the Jews were very significant. And we're going to see several of these animals that are. But they were very significant because they were a part of sacrifice for sin. They were a part of that. You know, for the poor families and that type of thing, if they couldn't afford to have a lamb and have some perfection, they could bring turtle doves, birds. And those birds could be used to cover the sins of the family. So they were very important to the Jewish mindset, to their way of thinking because of their spiritual significance there. And so David uses that. The birds of the air, those that soar in the skies. God, why are you mindful of me when you got the birds? And then you'll notice that he gets a little different, and he says, we're actually worth more than sheep. He says in that seventh verse, he says, all sheep and oxen. All sheep and oxen. And they're two separate things here, but the sheep as well were those animals that were vital and very important to the people. And in fact, that's why they're referred to so often in the Scriptures. In the Old Testament, they of course were used for sacrifice for the sins of the people. And in the New Testament, they were used to sacrifice as well for the sins of the people. And that the lambs had to be pure. They had to be perfect. And that's why Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb of God. You will remember that Jesus is ready to be baptized. And as He is ready to be baptized, and as He is walking down the road to meet with John the Baptist and the other crowd that is there, John the Baptist looks at Him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, so lambs, sheep, were very, very important. And so, and that goes clear back to the establishment of the law structure and how mankind, when he sinned, would need to have a sacrifice. And lambs were used until the perfect Lamb of God would come along in Jesus Christ. So David points the people's minds the lambs. He says, you're more valuable than those lambs who spill their blood. And remember, when this is, we're looking at probably 1,200 years before the birth of Christ. And the psalmist says, man, you are more valuable. Man is more valuable than those sheep that are used in sacrifice. That's how much God cares for you. And value was put on lambs because of their use. And then he moves on and he says, then the beasts of the field, the oxen and the donkeys and the beasts of burden, you know, that kind of thing. Now, in a society in which David lived, I mean, farming was a huge thing. And these particular animals were mighty valuable. And in fact, if you will think back, most of the wealth that Job had, much of the wealth anyways that Job had, was because of his herds. And people put value on, you know, the bigger the herd, the more wealthy you were. It's kind of like today, the more vets you own, the more rich you are. I don't have a vet yet, but if you're looking to give one away, give me a call. No, I'm just teasing. But, you know, back then, that was very, very important, because these beasts of burden, they were what would carry the goods to market. They are what the plows were attached to plow up those stony, rocky fields that they would have over in Israel. It was the beasts of burden that were extremely valuable to the people in Israel. And David has the audacity to say, who are we that God, you would consider us, that you would think of us over the beasts of the field? And then, of course, he also looks at the fish, a main staple of food, abundant. And God, who am I that your thoughts would be towards me and not towards these fish? Who are you? You see, the uniqueness of you is because you're the only one that God has ever made. And not only that, you are created in the image of God. You are a living soul. That is not said of any other creature at creation, only man. God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You see, folks, that image of God thing is what makes me so repulsed by abortion. From the moment we are conceived in the womb, we become an eternal being created in the image of God. From that moment, we become eternal. David himself in the psalm said, before there was any of my days, while I was yet in my mother's womb, you knew of me. You knew of my days. Do you realize what a gift you are? God, what am I that you think of me? That should at least bring a thank you, Lord, to our lips. We are the only beings created in the image of God. This world does everything it can to diminish who you are. In their struggle for all of the stuff of this world, they put down the Creator who made you and make every attempt to put you down for being created in His image, because they have rejected the image of God in their life. they don't want God's image stamped on their hearts and on their lives. Folks, you are valuable. Never, ever, ever allow anyone or anything to diminish who you are to God. You're valuable enough that Jesus gave His life in exchange for yours. He gave His blood that yours could be cleansed. He gave Himself so that you could live in His presence forever. Understand something. Every one of you here is going to live forever. It's two destinations. You can go and be with God and live forever in His kingdom. Or, and don't take this wrong, or you can go to hell. I'm not sending you there. I'm telling you that's the other choice. And a place of eternal separation from God, a place that where suffering and sorrow is forever. So you can reject the love of God for you if that's what you wish. But an eternal lake of burning fire will be your eternal destination, and there will be no release from that. Or you can choose Jesus Christ. He says, anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so, folks, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter how cheaply you think of yourself or others have tried to tell you you are. None of that matters. If you come to Jesus Christ, He gives you a brand new perspective in life. He gives you a brand new hope. He gives you a brand new destination. He gives you a brand new future. I recommend that you choose Jesus. When you realize how much He loves you, you'll understand the answer to the psalmist's question, what am I that you would think of me? Don't you feel blessed to consider that the God of all creation, who created David and Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel, the God who created the apostles, thinks of you? That's incredible. Thank you, God, for your thoughts about me. If you're here today and you are one of His children, His thoughts of you are, walk in my path and watch me bless you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, His thoughts to you are, please, give yourself over to me. Let me make you new. Give you a future and give you hope. But He thinks of you. Would you please stand?